My name is Benny Copeland, and when I am training or working with a client, I have a few definitions or rules or theories of mine, I call them postulates, that I will talk to an owner about. I have written these into a brief little summary that I call Bennyisms. These are excerpts from my training guides. When I first wrote these, I had come up with titles for a book or training guide, and what it ultimately has come down to is this website that you're searching called Family Dog Fusion. There were other few titles that I came up with, like, What Are You Really Saying to Your Dog? Or, How Do You Get What You Really, 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 Really Want from Your Dog? Or, Why Did My Dog Just Do That? So at the beginning of this little handout that I give to my clients and when I'm at different events that I'm marketing my business, I have a little quote. And the quote says, The only time you are teaching your dog is when she is making a choice. You must use the correct tool at the time of the choice to truly get the results you want. Praise is the only way to truly teach your dog what you want in a way she is willing to do that thing. Now, this is the very basis of my training program. Understanding that praise is the only way we're teaching and training our dog, and we have to praise our dog when she is making a choice, and ultimately, we have to always know what that choice is. Now, if you are going through this program, I'm sure you've read many things about that. But there are also things that you need to know. They're fairly easy to understand and sometimes very tough to put into practice on an everyday level. So I'm going to go over some of those things now with you. And as we go through each segment, I will also discuss what that may mean. Number one, frustration and anger change expectation. When you are working a command or a lesson, if you give up on your dog or change the way you are teaching that lesson, you have changed your expectation. For example, you call your dog to come to you from across the yard, and she does not come to you on the first call, so you raise your voice and you call her again. She does not come to you, so you go to her, scold her, grab her by the collar, and walk her into the house. From the moment that you called her the second time, your expectation changed. Then, by going to get her instead of her making the choice to come to you, you've changed your expectation to going to get her instead of her coming to you. Now, this is a tough concept. And a lot of times when I tell people this, they don't get what I mean by frustration and anger change expectations. If the expectation is that my dog does something when I tell him the first time, at the moment that I say it a second time, or I move toward my dog, or I do anything, whether it be motivation or correction, I have changed my personal expectation that my dog's going to do that thing. And this is a very common habit. A lot of times I'll go into a home and someone will tell me their dog knows the sit command, so I'll ask them to do that command with their dog. And they'll say it three or four times before the dog sits, or they'll even go to get a treat. At this point, their expectation changed, and they started to understand that the only way their dog was going to do this command was through motivation. And as you go through this process, you'll understand that more and more. Secondly, structure is rules. Just like there are rules in a game, there should be rules for your dog. And the more consistent you are with those rules, the less your dog will test the boundaries. Create structure and be consistent. It is your dog's job to test the boundaries. And if you find yourself being frustrated because your dog keeps doing the same thing you do not want over and over, then you have to look at how consistent you are with that behavior. It's like jumping up. Some dogs are so small and cute that when they jump up, even though we may not like that behavior, sometimes we go ahead and pick them up. Sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes we correct for it. That inconsistency creates that dog's going to keep doing that thing because it knows eventually it's going to get attention. Number three, praise must always be at a much higher level than correction. Now, to correct your dog, all you have to do is say no and make your dog quit doing what they're doing and pay attention. That is a true correction. Now, with some dogs, it's just a verbal no, and they're really good, and they'll stop. So at that point, you can praise them physically. You can praise them in a way that, you know, that you just tell them that they're a good dog, because it's a very low-level correction to create them paying attention. If you have to give a difficult or tough correction to make them stop, then when you praise them, it better be really high, really extreme. Let them know that you really want them to do that thing you want them to do. And that praise must always be higher than the level of correction in order for your dog to really want to do those things. Another one is have a phrase or word that means your dog is finished with the last command you gave. Use this phrase throughout the workout. Usually the novice trainer will only use this phrase at the end of the entire workout. Sometimes the novice trainer will only praise their dog once the command is completed. This will create that your dog thinks that she is done with the workout entirely and or that the praise is the release from the command. So if you're associating praise with the release every time, they will think praise is the release. If you only use your finished command, some people say free dog, some people say free, I say all done. And if you only use that at the end of a workout, at the point that you start using that on a consistent basis, they're going to think they're done working. Another one is for every one time you correct your dog for anything, you must praise her 10 times for doing the thing you want in that situation. This is a very important rule. If I correct my dog one time for anything, I have to be able to praise her 10 times for doing the thing that I want her to do. And that means I need to be able to put her in the situation. And most importantly, it means I have to know what I want my dog to do in that situation. If I can't verbalize or see how I want my dog to behave in any given situation, I will never be able to get my dog to do that thing because I'm only waiting for the mistake or the thing that I don't want. Another Bennyism is a dog has truly not learned a command until she has done that command with no prompting 1,000 times. 1,000 times. This is kind of my 10 to 1 rule in the sense that it's if a dog does something 10 times, they're ready to move forward. But until they've done it 10 times 10, they don't really understand and know that and are willing to do that command. And when I do everything in threes, if they do it 10 to the third power, that's when I get it. They truly, truly understand that thing. So 1,000 times is 10 times 10 times 10. And you'll notice in my training, if you're looking through things, that most things go in threes and in the 10 to 1 ratio. Another Bennyism is always end a command on a positive note. No matter what happens, always end it in a positive note. This does not necessarily mean that you have to praise them every time something happens. This just means that if it happens in a way that you don't want something to happen, and yet you have a good result at the end of that, at least walk away. In other words, if I call my dog to come from across the yard and I've had to scream at her and I've had to, go get her, and about the time I start to walk toward her, she comes to me. Now, if she comes to me, I'm going to praise her, even if it's minimal. Good girl, and then I'm going to walk away. Now, if she doesn't come to me and I have to go get her, I'm just going to calmly get her and bring her back inside. There's not going to be any punishment or anything for that. So that's the positive way to end that. Another one is always use motivation before correction when there is a choice. When you're using motivation as a tool, your dog is more likely to remember the command and more likely to want to do that command. So in any time that you can use motivation as a tool over correction, obviously your dog's more likely to remember and want to do that thing. The unfortunate part of that is that if you are always using the same motivation over and over and over, at some point your dog will expect something from you. And the last rule or theory is to enjoy the workout so your dog will enjoy you. Set yourself up to have fun. Set yourself up to enjoy the time you're spending with your dog. Understand that this is a positive quality time that you are going to be spending with your dog. So make it fun. So there are also some definitions through my training, and I'm going to go over these definitions. I don't know if I'll have a brief explanation. We'll see. So the definitions. Obedience. Obedience is the willingness to obey. Your dog has to want to do what you ask and expect of your dog in order to be obedient. Praise. Attention for a behavior when your dog has made a choice. In order to teach your dog, you must give positive attention when she has made the choice you want her to make. This is the only way you are teaching and training your dog to be obedient. Motivation. Anything positive you use to create that your dog pays attention to you, then makes a choice. Anything that is overused as a motivation creates an expectation from your dog. This is why motivation is a good tool, just not a good method of training, simply because it creates the expectation. And if my dog expects something from me in order to do for me, then she is not really being obedient. Correction. Anything negative you use to make your dog stop doing what she is doing and pay attention to you. Anything that is overused as a correction creates fear. Now, if my dog fears, what's going to happen if she does something? Or vice versa, if she fears what's going to happen if she doesn't do something, then I've got a big problem. And again, overusing correction as a method of training creates fear. And I never want my dog to fear what is going to happen. This is why correction is a good tool. It's just not a good method of training. So there are also some miscellaneous teachings that I do throughout my program, and I'm going to go over them now. One is control. Control is a funny thing. When I ask people what this means, most times I get answers like making things happen, being aware, being in power, or being the dominant. And control really is about confidence. It's about understanding that in any given situation, you are confident and you can handle that situation. Because when you look at the definitions of control, it seems like it means to be over or to dominate. By this definition, you are seeing another person as the one in control. You are not looking at yourself. Control is only about you. A dog sees control only about herself. When a dog is continuing to do behaviors you as an owner do not want, it is because that dog feels it is in control and can still test the boundaries. Dominance. Dominance is about creating trust. In order for a dog to be fully obedient, it must trust you no matter what. This trust is created by structure and consistency. The more structure you create and the better you are at being consistent, the better your dog will behave. The reason is because if your dog questions your sincerity, she will continue to test you. If she totally trusts that you will behave the same in every situation, there is no reason to test your sincerity. The less structure and consistency you have, the more your dog is willing to test the boundaries. This even applies to choices that your dog will make when you are not around. Body language. This is the number one way a dog learns from us. Your body language can change the mood, the direction, or a choice from your dog without you even knowing it. This is one reason why we use hand signals. Dogs pick up on your body language before they ever pick up on any other type of communication you use. They can tell when you're serious and when you're not serious simply from your body language. Voice tone. This is the second main way a dog learns. A dog can pick up on the most subtle changes in your voice that will let her know if you're serious or not. Even when you seem to be screaming and you feel you're serious, your dog knows. They also know what level and what tone you'll reach before you truly are serious and you're going to make a change in what your actions are at that point. I hope you enjoyed these definitions and these explanations. Thank you for choosing Family Dog Fusion as your source for dog training and behavior, and enjoy your dog.